Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, he lay. Thank you so much. Say this with me. This is my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. The past few years in the month of January, we've talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we've just said each January, because we begin a new year, and God doesn't think in terms of days and months and years, but we do. And so he loves us. And I think as we begin a new year, it's just important to remind ourselves about the beautiful gift that Jesus provided, the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to know that we don't serve three gods, we serve one God, and expressed in three personalities. And I don't know how to explain that. You know, I've got family members who are see things, they're more concerned about my thinking than I am in different denominations. But I like the analogy of an egg that's been used, that it's one egg, but there's a shell, and there's the egg white and the egg yolk, but it's all one egg, but three parts, three distinct parts. And we see ourselves as sons or daughters. We see ourselves as brothers and sisters. We see ourselves as parents. We see ourselves as grandparents. So we have different roles, and we're one person, but different roles. And so just important, though, that we get to know and welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we're intentional about that. Jesus was so, excited about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He was so passionate and told his disciples, don't even leave Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's as soon as I ascend, I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll send the Holy Spirit. And so he was so excited about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and instructed his disciples. Well, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, and 16, while Jesus' earthly ministry was still going on, he was preparing the hearts and minds of his disciples for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm going to go away soon, and sorrow has filled your heart. But don't be sad. It is expedient for you. It is better for you. It is advantageous to you that I go away, because if I do go away, I'm going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said a lot of amazing things about the Holy Spirit, that he would guide us into truth, and that he would bring things to our remembrance, and that he would show us things to come, and that he would be our comforter and be our friend and never leave us and forsake us. And Jesus even sort of referred that he was limited to one place and that he was going to have to leave, but the Holy Spirit will never leave us. And that ever-present help in our hearts that we can draw on, we can lean into, we can count on to be our friend and our counselor and our guide. So last week, the title of my message, I always like kind of unique titles, and so last week it was Welcome Holy Spirit Part 1, and today it's Welcome Holy Spirit Part 2. Is that tricky? So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And let's just read a couple of verses here. We covered these last week, but just to reiterate, some of you weren't here. I noticed I do take attendance in my mind. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said something profound. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world doesn't see him, doesn't know him. You know him, for he dwells with you, but he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So I want you to see that word there, but the Comforter, verse 26, the Comforter, the Greek word there for Comforter is Paraclete. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Keep turning with me to John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, verses 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you have heard, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16, verse 6, these things I have said to you, and sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because you don't believe on me. I want you to notice here that what the Holy Spirit will convict about, and it's the sin of not believing. You know, sometimes we want to beat up people for their specific sin that we think is the bad one, and worse than ours. And, you know, that's just evil what you do and how you behave. And then we excuse our own gossip. Thank you, everyone. Drive safely. Yeah. Of sin, the Holy Spirit will convict of sin because people don't believe on him. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that will he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive from me and will show it unto you. Let's just stop there, and let me recap real quickly from last week what we talked about. First of all, we talked about if we're gonna participate fully in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And let me just tell you that this is not something that we have to work and grind and scratch and claw and beg and coerce our way into enjoying the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you're straining under religious bondage, come to me. That's what Jesus said. All you that labor and are heavy laden, he's talking about religious bondage and religious shoulding and musting. On ourselves, he said, come to me and learn about me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so walking with the Holy Spirit is not a difficult thing. The Lord wants us to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, because you're a born-again believer, you can invite the Holy Spirit into your life, and we see Jesus already said that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Believers can receive the Holy Spirit, that it is important for us to invite and to ask and to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives, because with his presence comes the ability, the capacity to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and to walk in the gifts of the Spirit so that we can be blessed and we can be a blessing to others. Are you with me? Okay, so hang with me here. I'm going to be brief and brilliant today, heavy on the brilliant. So we talked about three things last week, and I'm going to recap those quickly. First of all, Jesus commanded his disciples to tarry. It wasn't a divine suggestion. He was giving an order to be a Spirit-empowered believer. Because what Jesus did when he was on the earth, he still wants to do and is doing. He's doing those things through his body, and we are the body. You listen closely now. You're plan A, and there is no plan B. So if you're not participating, plan A that God has instituted isn't working because of our non-participation. Are you with me? And so I think somehow in our minds we go, well, I guess God will do it some other way. No, there is no other way than our participation. So it is important for us to be under orders. When Jesus had a centurion that came to him and said, Jesus, my servant is at home sick. And Jesus said, well, I'll go with you and heal him. And the centurion said, no, you don't have to come to my house. Listen to these words. It astonished Jesus. There's two places in the Bible when Jesus was astonished. He was astonished by this unchurched, non-believing, you know, sort of, he wasn't even saved. Who knows? You know, he's a follower of Jesus. But he had observed the ministry of Jesus. He knew about the ministry of Jesus. And he was a military man, over 100 soldiers. And so this centurion understood being under authority. So here are the words he responded to Jesus. Jesus said, I'll go with you and heal him. No, you don't have to come with me. I am a man under authority. Everyone say under authority. I'm a man under authority, and because I'm under authority, then I have authority. So I say to people who are under me, go, and they go, get something, and they do it. Come here, and they do. Do this task, and they perform the task. Because I'm under authority, I have authority. So he understood chain of command and military protocol. He got it from a military perspective. However, he knew that Jesus had spiritual authority. And so because Jesus was under the authority of the anointing, Jesus was under the authority of the word, he was under the authority of the guidance of his Father, Jesus said, I don't do what I do by myself, it's the Father that leads me, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was under authority. Being under authority, he had authority. So he could say to a blind man, be healed, and the blind person would be healed. Are you with me? So Jesus had authority, and so the centurion said, you don't have to come to my house. You've got authority. You're under authority. You have authority. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. So number one, if we want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, it's important for us to be under authority. What do you mean, Pastor Jeff? Well, let me give you an example. The Holy Spirit, who is called our helper, which we're going to talk about in a moment, he helps us do what God's called us to do. So when Jesus said, go, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. If we don't get under the authority of go, we say, no, that's not my personality, Jesus. I'm kind of shy. No, that's, you're not under orders then, because the order is go. Are you here? And so when we're under authority and we're flowing under that authority of Jesus, the head of the church, and under the authority of the word, then the Holy Spirit can come along and assist and help and guide and give us wisdom and favor and open doors and open prison doors and open other doors. Are you with me? So being under authority. Number two, we need to be at the right place. You know, there's something about being in the upper room. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem, and they were in the right place in the upper room. And we talked about how Elijah had an assigned place by the brook Cherith, and then he had an assigned place at Zarephath. And it's important to be at the right place. And I believe you are at the right place being here, because we are the planting of the Lord, and God puts us in a place among other believers where we can flourish and grow. And so being at the right place, Jesus had to go to Samaria because there's a woman that's going to be hanging out at the well, and she needs ministry. And so Jesus was at the right place. Are you with me? So time and time again, especially in Jesus' ministry, a lot of the right place for Jesus was not in the temple. Occasionally it was, but most of the time the right place was at Walmart and Starbucks a lot. That was the right place. Are you with me? So wherever you are, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, God's going to get you to the right place. That's a great thing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to touch and bless a hurting person at that place. I went to FedEx the other day to drop a couple of packages. There's a woman who's waited on me many times there, sweet woman. And I said, so how was your Christmas? And she said, I was at home alone on Christmas. She said, I wish we had worked. I would have rather been at work than to be home alone on Christmas. She said, my daughter is a methamphetamine addict. My sister won't speak to me since our mother died. For some reason, she blames me. And she said, I had a horrible Christmas. And compassion. See, I was at the right place. You wouldn't think that FedEx would be the right place, but it was. FedEx was the right place. And compassion rose. And let me just tell you, I was going to conclude with this, but let me just tell you that one way to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, flowing with God is not difficult. See, Jesus was moved with compassion. So we know that a motivating force for Jesus was compassion. The way that he knew the Holy Spirit was drawing from the grace on his life was from compassion. And so when you feel compassion rising up within you for a person or a situation, if you had been with me at the FedEx office and heard this woman sharing how her Christmas went, you would have, compassion would have stirred up within you. Maybe you see a fatherless child and compassion rises, or a single mom and compassion rises, or someone in the grocery line that does it fidgeting around and they don't have quite enough money and compassion rises. That's the Holy Spirit having you at the right place. Oh, it's so hard. I've got to pray through and fast 30 days to have the whole. No. Please get yourself off that performance hook. Nothing wrong with fasting and praying, but it is easy to be led by the Holy Spirit if you'll let love lead and compassion guide. All right. Number three is being of the right people. Being under orders, being in the right place, being with the right people. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, were going to church, and there's a man lame from his mother's womb, and he reaches his cup out for an offering, and they said, we don't have that, but we have something. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they reached down, lifted him up, and his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple and messed up their service. They were aggravated. This dancing thing was not in the bulletin. Who are you and what do you think you're doing? Peter and John, they're looking, you know, they came in with him. They're as amazed as anyone. And the religious people gathered them up and said, by what authority, who do you think you are messing up our service? By what authority have you done this? And they said, the name of Jesus. That's how we've done. The name of Jesus. You crucified him, thought you took him out, but he raised up from the dead and he's fine today. And Jesus that you crucified made this man whole. And then they said, here, and you should read that because we talked about this last week. You should read it in your own devotional time. The religious people of Jesus' day, here's what they said. We cannot deny that a notable miracle has been done, but that it spread no further. You can just hear the hiss of the serpent in those words. It's amazing that any human being would say this man is healed, he's rejoicing, he's walking, he's leaping, he's praising God, but we don't want that to spread any further. Amazing. And they said, let's threaten them and command them not to teach at all or to preach in the name of Jesus. And immediately upon their release, Peter and John went to their own company. Everyone say, own company. See, there are people you can hang out with, all kinds of people from all walks of life, but you do need at some juncture in your life to have your own company. People who will be spiritual cheerleaders, who will provoke you to love and good works, who will spur you on, who will encourage you, who will pray with you, who will just grab your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke the devil. You can do it. You can make it. And that's what their own company began to do. And they said, Lord, listen to the threats of this nonsense and grant unto your servants that with boldness they can preach some more in the name of Jesus. Jesus, and heal and confirm your word with signs and wonders and miracles. And they lifted up their voice like a trumpet, the opposite of what the enemy had told them. I'm going to tell you my little testimony of my first job in ministry. I graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center in the late 70s, and there were no churches like this. There were good churches. But there, and I don't even know what kind of a church this is, quite frankly. I'm trying to figure it out. Been 35 years sorting through it. But I like to refer to us as not non-denominational, but interdenominational. In this church, over the years, I was thinking about it recently, we have had retired clergy from, we had a Catholic nun. We've had retired Lutheran pastors, Luther Conrath and his wife, Jordis. Retired Methodist pastor, Ken, I can't remember his last name. We've had retired Lutherans, Methodist, Nazarene, Assembly of God, Foursquare, what are you, Ray? Pentecostal Holiness. People, ministers from all denominational backgrounds who felt comfortable. We've had two spirit-filled Roman Catholic priests preach, each of them preached twice over the years. One with a great healing anointing, one with a great prophetic anointing. And so we're into God's people no matter what tag. The first thing John Osteen used to say, the first thing that's going to burn off in the rapture is your denominational tag anyway. By the time you get to heaven, it won't. You'll, where's my tag? So I don't know what kind of church we are, but anyway, there were none of this kind of churches very much, and charismatic churches. There were a few, but mostly not. And so my first job, I couldn't find anyone that was like us, and so I was hired by a community church. Now, their credo was we agree to differ, and that was their credo. And 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, Paul said, I beseech you, I implore you, be of the same mind, of the same judgment, speaking the same thing, and our credo was we agree to differ. Now, I understand that there's a time to agree to differ, but not on doctrine. So this church, though, if you wanted to be water baptized by immersion, they had a baptism tank. If you want to be baptized by sprinkling, they had a baptismal font. And so we'll just go with the flow. And it was funny. And at this church, they had a magnificent facility, and it took five different boards to get me hired. So I was hired to be the youth director and visitation. So the pastor was bivocational. He was a school teacher, and so he wasn't always available, so they hired me to be his assistant. And so that's all fine and good. And so my first day in ministry, my first 5 minutes in ministry, my first job in ministry, and I'm raised, you know, in a holiness background and been to Rhema, and so, you know, the big theme then was don't touch God's anointed, and so you honor the man or the woman of God, and so on. So you have to think of my mindset, and I was a young kid, early 20s, or maybe even 20. So The pastor had me come to the church, and he's showing me the building. They had this fantastic edifice, and on one wing was an educational wing for the kids, and on the other side of the building was an educational wing for the adults. They had a beautiful chapel that seated about 50 people. The sanctuary was magnificent, 40-foot stained glass window of Jesus with some sheep, and they would push the button, and the white curtain would open, and the sun would shine down through that for the Sunday morning service, and we would march up to the front because we marched up at that church. And we'd march up to the front, and then they had a gymnasium and a commercial kitchen. It was just a magnificent building, but we agreed to differ. So we'd gone through the whole tour, and then Dan said, now brace yourself. He reached out his hand to the office door, and he said, now brace yourself. And I thought, well, I want to brace myself for what? He said, you're about to meet Donna, who was the church secretary. And he opened the door, and cigarette smoke billowed out from the church office. And there's Donna. She didn't even look up. She's typing. She could type, you know, just like a wild woman, she could type. She had an IBM Selectric typewriter and a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. I'll never forget this as long. This is my first 5 minutes in ministry. I was so devastated. My knee, literally my knees, I got weak in the knees. I thought, oh, Jesus, God, Holy Ghost, anybody, Virgin Mary, I'm praying to Mary. And I don't care who, anybody really ready to answer. And she had that cigarette hanging out the side of her mouth, and smoke was curling up into her eyes, and she was kind of squinting because of the smoke in her eyes, and she was typing. And finally, Dan said, well, this, hey, Donna. So she looked up, and she said, this is Jeff. Her mother was on the board, so she knew I was coming because her mother had been part of the board decision, one of the five boards. And so she said, this is Jeff. Well, it's nice to meet you. And she's a long-term smoker, so she had a real gravelly voice, like you know, old women bingo players. Bingo. Oh, Marge, you won last time. So anyway, that's her voice was kind of like that. So I mean, and I don't mean to make fun of gravelly voice, but it was just a moment for me. I'll never forget it. And so we met, and I just can't get this. And she would talk, and the cigarette would bob like this. It was, this should have been, if I had a camera, this would have been in a movie somewhere. And so she would talk, and the cigarette would go like that. And finally, she took the cigarette out of her mouth and she looked at the pastor and she said, did you remember to call Mr. and Mrs. Johnson or whoever it was? And he goes, oh my gosh, I forgot. So he ran into his office. So just she and I there and the cigarette smoke and the IBM Selectric typewriter, you know, that typing ball down, and it was full of ashes down in there. Because she would lean over and smoke and the ashes would fall. This is the trip. So he ran into his office to make the call. And she looked at me. First time, this is my first 5 minutes in the ministry. I just met her. I knew her 30 seconds. And she looked at me and said about the pastor, he's such a dumb shit. I'm serious. I'm as serious as I can. My knees were weak. I went in from her office. I went into my office, and I said, oh, God, please, if I made a mistake, forgive me, Lord, please. So soon after that, the pastor was going to be gone for 2 Sundays, and he said, well, I want you to preach while I'm gone. Now, this church, their Sunday morning service went out on live radio on a massively powerful radio station. So parts of Missouri, parts of Kentucky, parts of Indiana, and Illinois, this live religious radio broadcast, 30 minutes, you had to be done, you know, it was real tight. And so I preached a message, I thought it was a good message, a form of godliness with no power. And then at the end, which that didn't go over very well, but then at the end I gave an altar call, and 3 people came forward to be saved, so I just had them pray the sinner's prayer right on live radio. And that didn't go over very well. And they fired me. They fired me. Now, like Peter and John, they could not deny that 3 people had come forward to receive Christ. That's not how they did it. You check a box on a card. That's how you receive. I would be interested in considering, you know, and you put it in a thing or I don't know what. But it wasn't have an altar, you know, and have people pray to receive Jesus. And they were furious. So I know what this is. This still happens, see. We don't want that to spread any further. Let's threaten them. And life offers up for each of us, maybe not in church, but it offers up for reason, those threats, that intimidation, that you can't do that anymore. You're not good enough. You're not this enough. You're not that enough, where we feel like there's an inferiority. And when we are a child of God, there is not in the sense of being superior over anyone else, but we have superior kingdom footing, and we can do whatever God tells us to do. Are you here? So all of us need to be with the right people, people who will cheerlead for you, who will spur you on and will encourage you and pray for you and kick your tail when it needs to be kicked in the best way and pour gas on the fire when it's appropriate and pour water on the fire when that's appropriate, because sometimes we let the fire of discouragement flame up and someone needs to put some water on that. But if there's a passion to do something great for the kingdom, someone needs to pour gasoline on that. Are you with me? To be with the right people. So they fired me. It was awesome. Never really been persecuted much for the gospel, but they fired me. That church went down to about 15 or 20 people in not too short an order. And for about 20 years, it just barely sustained. And I went back 10 years ago, actually, right now, 10 years ago, and they had hired a new pastor, an evangelical man who was full of Jesus. And the church had recovered, but it violating the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy Spirit like they did, they fired me because people received Christ. Can you imagine? They fired Peter and John, as it were, because a man got healed. And when we do great things for the kingdom, if people reject that, it's just never going to be very good. And so that church went down, and I didn't wish bad on them, but there's just no way when you say, Holy Spirit, you're not welcome here. The gospel is not welcome here. The love of Jesus is not welcome here. We're going to serve our religious system, and we're going to have some board meetings. It just went down to zero, well, 15 or 20 people, until God brought new life in the form of a new pastor. And it's wonderful now that it's a flourishing church. And when I went back, it was already growing and recovering. But being with the right people, that's my whole point. Now, today, which now I'm out of time, so how many of you believe a three-minute message? Number one, John 14, 26 says, the Holy Spirit, Jesus called him comforter, but the Greek word is paraclete. It means helper. Pushed the wrong button. And the word paraclete means comforter, advocate, intercessor, consoler, helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. We do the doing, He does the helping. We can't send the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus told us to do. We do the doing, He does the helping. Jesus did the doing. The Holy Spirit was his helper. Acts 10:38 says how Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Spirit in power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus cooperated with the Holy Spirit and did the doing, and the Holy Spirit did the helping and confirmed, and signs and wonders and miracles followed. So Jesus is your helper. Mark chapter 16, verse 20, it says the disciples went forth preaching the gospel, the Lord working with them, helping them, confirming the word with signs following. Point number two, I'm going to give you a three-minute sermon. Jesus said in John 16, 14 that the Holy Spirit would glorify me. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will glorify me. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not glorify the preacher. How many of you have ever been in a service? I've just seen this too many times. It's so grieving to me when pride, yes, the Lord just seems to use me so powerfully in that way, and the Holy Spirit seems to just flow through me. See, that's, ooh, that's not bringing glory to Jesus. That's bringing glory to the vessel. What's in the vessel is the big deal. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. Number three, Jesus said that because of the Holy Spirit, you and I are commissioned to go. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll receive power and you will go into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth, because you're empowered by my Spirit. Because you have welcomed, if indeed you have, if you have welcomed the Holy Spirit into your life, you have the capacity to draw on your new personality called the fruit of the Spirit. In place of frustration and anger and vengeance, we can have long suffering and gentleness and meekness and kindness. And I'm doing my best to press into that and practice the presence of the Holy Spirit and practice the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm sure better than I used to be. Are you here? Yes. And we have the capacity now, because the Holy Spirit resides within us, to move in all of the gifts of the Spirit. You don't possess any of them. The vessel of the Holy Spirit has capacity for all of them. That's right. Well, I have the gift of this, or I have the gift. No, a better way of saying that is I have stepped out in that gift. We don't possess it. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, but He resides within us. So let's practice His presence, and let's be mindful that it is easy and it is simple to be led by the Holy Spirit and to be activated by the Holy Spirit, because the primary activation point is compassion and love. That's the Holy Spirit stirring within us. When love rises, when compassion rises, that ding, 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 be aware that that is the Holy Spirit wanting to move through you with comfort, with encouragement, maybe a word from heaven, a prayer. Are you here? And then Jesus will be glorified and we are called to go. Before we leave today, I want to tell you about, and that we've mentioned this before, but some of you might not be aware, but we have, I love our church. I love the diversity of our church. We have a lot of Filipinos in the church. And, you know, my son married a Filipina. And so since now my daughter, I call her my daughter-in-love. My daughter-in-love is a Filipina. I'm now family to the Filipinos in the church. They think I'm extra cool now. it. So we had a couple that came to the church and went back to the Philippines and started a church. And they called it Victory Christian Center. And they used our logo. And they used our name. And then after the church was already going, they came back and they said, could we have a meeting with you? And so we met in my office. And they said, we want to show you pictures. I said, well, what pictures of what? Of your church in the Philippines, Victory Christian Center. Is that okay? They asked permission after. I said, that's wonderful. So there's a picture, I think a couple hundred people in this picture. Well, they've been asking me for a long, long time to come over and to preach and to pray over the pastors and do a conference and minister to the youth. And I think they've got about 5 days of work for me. And so I've put it off long enough. I've got to go. So I'm going later this month. Next week I'll be here. Dwight will be here. I'll be here. And then I'll miss one Sunday. So I think I'll miss the 29th. But I'm going. So this is Victory Christian Center. Taking Jesus to the world is part of our vision. So we've supported missions and missionaries and sent missionaries and for many, many years planted churches. And we've done all that. But it's been a long time since I've gone abroad to a different country. I have in the past and preached in Europe many times and preached in Australia at several churches. But now to the Philippines. I've never been to the Philippines, so I'm going. So we're going to receive a mission offering because the church budget does not have the financial, we hadn't budgeted that in, and so we're going to take a special offering for that endeavor, so for air ticket and hotel and so on, because we don't want to be a burden to the church there. So we're going to receive a mission offering. So ushers, come if you would, and if you want to help with that, we would appreciate it very much. And make your check to Victory, of course, and if you want to give your bank card or all that, just this. So this is for the trip to the Philippines. Thank you for helping. I'll take lots of pictures, and I'll stand out, I'm sure. I think they're advertising the conference that Goliath will be here. Preaching the gospel. Thank you for your help. So let me pray over you. Lord, thank you for this, the kindness and generosity of your people, this extra offering for missions. And I pray you'll multiply that back to them quickly and let them know that you smiled upon their obedience and their sensitivity. And we pray for a fruitful time of ministry in the Philippines and just do great things and establish and affirm and more deeply root that church and let it bear lots of fruit that you are glorified. And we thank you for the opportunity to sow to this outreach and to this mission effort in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you go ahead and serve the people. If you're a senior, or you feel like a senior, or you want to be, or you plan on being a senior one day, really, they can welcome everybody. But you're invited to Italian meal in the fellowship hall. If you didn't bring anything, it's okay. We'll just pray the multiplication of loaves and fish. If you did bring something, thank you. And so we pray blessing on that time of fellowship. We pray a special anointing on the Packers. I'm sorry. No, I do want to speak a blessing over you. And then if you're here today and you need prayer, we're going to have a prayer team available here in the front. I don't know what need may be in your life, but you want someone to stand with you or agree with you in prayer, make your way forward. If you want to receive the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, one of the Bible ways to do that is to have someone lay hands on you. Through the book of Acts, we see that that was the case. But really, Jesus said, if you invite and you ask for the Holy Spirit, that he promised that you will get you will receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave that great promise. And so you can welcome him in your own personal devotional time, but perhaps you want to have someone pray with you about that. And or if you want to begin to release more fully the power of the Holy Spirit, and you've just been intimidated a little bit, but just keep it simple. And the good news is about ministering under the power of the Holy Spirit is be you. See, the Holy Spirit, even though it's divine power from heaven, the Lord flows through your personality. My preaching, I want to preach the gospel. I want to preach the pure gospel. I want to preach the word. But it comes through my personality, and that's why I'm so shocked people come back. But thank you. Thanks for being here. But the Lord uses our personality. And so how you might do something is different from how maybe I might do it. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not involved because you do it different from someone else. Just be you, but be ready. Be you, but be used. And so just allowing him to flow with love and compassion through you, expressed through prayer, expressed through encouragement, expressed through possibly laying hands on someone. I always ask permission. Could I put my hand on you to pray? And most of the time, people are so grateful to be prayed for. One of the church members was telling me a story. She said she got on an elevator recently with someone at the sheriff's department. And this young man was 38 years old. And the elevator got messed up, and so they're stuck on the elevator. True story, it's not a parable. And so he was sharing with her how life was frustrating, and he felt bad about himself and wasn't a good father and so on. And she said, well, I'll be praying for you. And he said, why don't you pray for me right now? Listen to this now. Just being available. It's not her job to be a preacher. She's a therapist in the jails. And so he said, why don't you pray for me right now? So she prayed with him, and they had a wonderful time of prayer. The elevator started functioning, and they went on their way. This is a few weeks ago. She told me a couple days ago, she said that young man who's 38 had a heart attack and died. But she was able to minister to him, and he's raised in church, so he's a believer, but just having a tough time. But to minister to him and bring a sense of security to him. And then he was made his way to heaven. Just be ready. Just be ready. It might not be the most obvious. It might be that you have compassion on someone that looks like everything's going great and they've put a smile on their face. But you know there's something because of the compassion that's in you. So just let the Lord use you. But anyway, if you'd like to be used more prolifically, the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'd like for someone to pray with you about that, for courage, for wisdom, for boldness, have someone pray with you about that. So the prayer team will be here. Let me speak a blessing over you before you go. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed in the basket, blessed in your store. You're blessed coming in, and you're blessed going out. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of God, in the law of the Lord. And in that word, as he meditates day and night, let me speak this over you. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. I say over you that as you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. I say over you that you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. I say over you that because you're born of God, you are an overcomer. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. I speak over you that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I speak over you that he will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I speak over you what Jesus said, that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, in a stranger's voice they will not follow. I speak over you the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and that the mercies of God that are new every morning keep you stable and steady and rooted in the will of God for your life. And finally, I say over you, 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul does prosper, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And if you can receive that, say amen. All right.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.